evening. This is Monday, October 13th. My name is Wynn Free, and we're doing our Monday simulcast with a telephone conference line and VBS radio. And for those of you that are listening for the first time, we have a group here. And the group actually started the telephone call quite some time before we decided to put it on BBS radio, and then through the good graces of Don Newsom and BBS, we're here. And let's see, the last person I checked in on the phone was Anna. Did anyone? I'm sure there's somebody there after Anna.
Emmy to the sun.
Hi, Emmy.
Hi.
And anyone else? Okay. Hang on a second.
There are 15 participants in the conference.
All right, we got some submarines here. Submarine is somebody that's on the line that doesn't say who they are because there's supposed to be 15 people. And we have here, 1, 2, 3, Mary Ann, Marilyn, Jackie, Terry, Debbie, Francis, Maya, Andrea, Anna, and Emmy. Anyone else?
Matt in Ohio.
And Matt.
Yeah, sorry, I was muted.
That's okay. Anyone else after that? Okay. And we have Terry, right? Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So, hang on a second, I'll mute everybody. Why don't you say hello to everybody on BBS? You guys on the call.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
I'm just letting you know they're really there. Okay. Well, I'm going to leave you guys open for a while. And this call got established because people read my book, people knew about my personal experience, and we have been doing an experiment, which is learning how to integrate dimensions. Most of us, or many of us, don't have the direct experience that there are other dimensions. And some of us have had some experiences, but we don't know what to make of them or how to understand them. For example, maybe you've had a dream and something in the dream happened. Or sometimes people have dreams with other people in their dreams, and that people they know, and then they talk to the person and find out that they both remembered that they were in the same dream. Some people have synchronicities. Little magical events happen in the world, and they're inexplicable, but they certainly couldn't happen by the rules that the physical realm normally works on. So many of you have had interdimensional experiences. In fact, some of you have been in a room and felt oneness with a bunch of other people in a spiritual group. Some of you have felt oneness and love with another person in a romance. So in order to experience love, just the experience of real love, I should say real love, not affection, not romantic love, but real love, where you so become one with another person that you know everything about them almost. You can feel them, and you don't even have to be with them. You can feel them. Then to have that experience, you have to be expanded into another dimension just to have that experience. So when we talk about another dimension, we're talking about something which is invisible, and maybe you can have those experiences that I just described, and you've thought about it, you've pondered it, you know there's something more, but it's very hard to figure it out. And oftentimes we just say, well, that's God, or that's magic, or that's the universe, and that's okay. And there's a mystery to it. Well, in our case here, some pieces of the mystery have been solved. And they've been solved because these other dimensions, there are intelligences. And some people have the ability to be a voice in this realm for intelligences in other realms. And I happen to be a person that has experienced that around me. Not so much with myself, although a little bit, to some extent, a little bit. But the people around me, I seem to attract people into my life that have this ability to be a voice for intelligence in other realms. And I shouldn't say not just intelligence, but an unusual kind of intelligence. Because normally when we think of an intelligence, we think of a person and a consciousness who is smart and can talk to us and can see things. So these voices that talk to me describe themselves as group intelligences, conglomerates of millions of individual souls like ours operating as a team, and they're trying to attempt to reach us because the connection with them causes us to evolve, to grow. It's kind of like if you know somebody in your life that's very wise and you can always talk to them, that person is going to cause you to expand your horizons, to see things that you didn't see just through your own eyes. So what happened to me was these intelligences, these group energies, decided they wanted to talk to me. And it happened during the period I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, when the same group intelligences were talking to the young man who was Edgar Cayce, who was David Wilcock. And many of you may have read the book. And they called themselves the Ra Group, and they indicate that they've been talking to people throughout our history. And oftentimes when they start communicating with people, something happens around that person, which kind of becomes a spiritual, what would you call it? A spiritual tradition, a religion, a teaching. And so they're attempting to clue us in on how things work throughout our history. And, of course, there's two aspects to these kinds of communications with these interdimensional intelligences. One aspect is that they can see and know things that we can't possibly figure out. And so they can share it with us and help prepare us for things that are happening down here that we would be clueless to otherwise. Now, if a voice just started telling you things like that, or told me things like that, I don't believe I would believe it very easily, because whoever's going to start telling me stuff like this has to make themselves credible to me. And so they know that. If I was to believe them without making them credible, then I would say that if you believed me, you'd kind of be foolish, because there has to be some kind of foundation to believe things that you can't validate in the physical. It would be like going in a drunk, gives you directions, And he says, well, go here and go there and zigzag and go left. And you walk away and says, I better ask somebody else because he was drunk. I mean, somebody's got to prove that they can give directions before you can begin to take it in. So they have ways of validating themselves, and they do know they have to do that. Otherwise, why believe a voice that starts telling you stuff? So, for example, in the case of David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce, they made a prediction in Edgar Cayce's readings that Edgar Cayce would return in 1998, live in Virginia Beach, and may be a liberator of the world. So now there's young David Wilcock, who's living in New Paltz, New York, and he's got this voice in his head that's talking to him and giving him all this wise counsel about his life, and he's not sure who it is. He's clueless about it, except they start predicting things in the future, and the things start to happen. So he knows it's not from his own consciousness. Well, after a year, this voice tells him, or asks him, we'd like you to move to Virginia Beach. And he moves to Virginia Beach, and he has no idea he has any connection with Edgar Cayce at that point. And then people start staring at him, and it turns out he's the spitting image of a young Edgar Cayce. And some of you have looked at the pictures that are on the website, returnofedgar.com, and there's a picture of David and Cayce. And, I mean, it's not just physical resemblance. There's something deep set in the character, in the mood, many things that make them look similar. And at a certain point, David asks his voice, why do I look like Cayce? And then they say that you were Cayce. If you study Cayce, you'll see all the parallels. But this lifetime, you have a different mission than the mission in Cayce's lifetime. And that is, we don't prefer that you didn't emphasize doing health readings and reincarnation readings. We'd like you to explain this dimensional shift to your planet. And we are in the end of a 75,000-year cycle, which they call a dimensional shift, where there's something that's going to happen, it is happening right now, that has never happened in the recorded history of mankind. Now, if you're going to come up with a bit of information that says, here's something that's happening that never happened in recorded history, you better be good. You better make people pay attention, and you better figure out a way to make them believe you, because no one's going to believe you. So what you do is you create a person who's Edgar Cayce, who for 40 years of his life has absolute credibility, 15,000 transcribed readings, and becomes the most documented and credible psychic prophet in the history of the world, and 500 books written about him. Then you bring him back, and you predict that he's going to come back, and he comes back exactly as the prediction is. And now he's going to say something that is so far out that no one would pay attention, except you have to think, what if he's really Edgar Cayce? Maybe this is real. Because he's talking about things like ascension, like leaving this realm in your body and going somewhere else. Now, who are you going to believe that starts telling you that you might leave this realm in your body and end up somewhere else? That's a hard one to swallow. Who wants to talk about that? You know, I don't want to talk about it. I mean, I didn't get up when I was a kid thinking what I wanted to be when I got older. Certainly I wasn't thinking that that's what I wanted to talk about. And even now I'm saying, geez, I don't want to talk about that. Let me talk about something else. And yet that is what David Wilcock was saying. And he was explaining a whole new way of looking at and thinking about what happens in other dimensions. Now, of course, for most of us, when we think of other dimensions, it's all speculative, because who has direct experience? We can't see those other dimensions. And even David or myself can't see them. Now, Terry might be able to see them. I'm not sure. She gets closer. But nonetheless, it's a mystery. So if somebody's going to tell you what's going on the other side of a closed door that you can't possibly validate, they better be good. They know that. So they go to a lot of effort to make themselves be believable. And you know what? Even with all their effort to make themselves be believable, when people hear this, there's a tendency for the mind to go unconscious, to blank out, and say, that can't be real, and he can't be Casey, and this can't be happening. And even when I am in the midst of this, and even when I'm in the middle of talking to them, my own mind said that, and probably still says it, and probably all of your minds say it. Can this be real? Can this be real? Are we really talking to who they say they are? Can this be what's really happening? Is this going to happen? So I tell you myself, I'm not going to tell you anything is going to happen that hasn't happened. Because until it happens, it's still in the realm of speculation. And in fact, maybe it won't happen. And I thought about this. What if I talk about this and this doesn't happen? Well, I said, what is the qualification? And what we're talking about really here is graduating from this realm. What is the qualification? And the qualification is an open heart. So if I talk about this and all that happens is everyone makes more of an effort to keep their heart open and nothing happens, the world's a much better place. And if something does happen, you're in a better place because these are the requirements for graduation from this realm. The key here is that I'm not saying to believe anything. I'm saying, here are the circumstances, here are what these voices say, and of course, I know there's new people listening tonight, because we made an announcement and many people are tuned into BBS. The people that are on the conference line have been listening to this for, some of them, 3 years now, and they have explored it and looked at it. And not only have they heard all the stories over and over again, which is, here I am telling it again in a different way, but we've had an ongoing conference line where we've learned how to feel these energies because they can be experienced in this realm. And many of you listening have probably felt these energies. And I used to feel them before any of this happened to me, before I understood it. And I never believed that these energies had intelligence attached to them. Of course, I've heard the words, the intelligence of the universe and all that stuff. But, you know, to have beings that are thinking and planning and working systems out is like, never occurred that when I felt energy in a space, that was actually energy that was beamed into this realm. And I don't know if beamed into this realm is the right terminology, but guided, intended, created from another dimension, and could interface in this realm as light energy. So when I first got the inkling of this, is when I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, and Terry, who is on the line now, was working very closely with me in the editing of the book. And we used to read the channelings out loud to each other, and as part of the editing process. And what we noticed was that when we read the channelings out loud, there was always a shift in the energy. in the space. And we also noticed that when we read the channelings out loud, we could understand them better than when we read them alone. There was some kind of comprehension that was different when the two of us were hearing the information together than when we would just read them by ourselves. And so that started a process of contemplation for me. Why is this? What's going on? And I didn't have all the answers at the time, and I just kept noticing it. And I think that I started to have, I had to make the postulate, what if that is the group soul coming into the space? And in studying Wilcox channelings, they said, as you study us, we study you. And then another time they said, you can send your energy up to us through your crown chakra, and we'll send it back down to you, and you'll feel this wave of love light energy. And so I started to think the possibility that when we were reading those things out loud, maybe that's them coming into the space. And I didn't draw a firm conclusion about it. I just kept noticing. Well, of course, without telling the whole story, 2 years into writing the book, I suddenly had a new friend who started channeling, and the voice that came through her said they were the Council of Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim, and that was a word for the creator God of this realm, the God of the Old Testament. And I tested them, and they predicted a newspaper headline in advance when I asked them to do it. They saved my sister's life in a medical miracle. And I started asking them all the questions about what was written in the book. And they were giving me exactly the same answers as what I was writing in the book. Now, keep in mind that the wisdom that was coming through the voice that was speaking through David Wilcock stood on its own. But the cosmology, this explanation for what it meant to be at the end of the 75,000-year cycle, there was no way that I could validate that. I mean, how could who would know that that was true? And so I just said, well, I'll just put it in the book and see what happens. Tell people to make up their own minds, because this is what's being said. And then, of course, I have a new friend that starts channeling, and I'm asking them all the questions about the cosmology, and they are giving me exactly the same answers as were coming through David Wilcock. And if you're listening on BBS, I put that story up on the web, in a website, leaving everybody anonymous in 2003. The website's called conversationswithmygirlfriend.com. And I tell the story, and you can read some of the messages and some of the conversations I was having with this voice that identified itself as the Council of Elohim. And so in this cosmology that was being presented, there was this idea that we exist as an energy form, and our energy form goes on forever, and only our body dies, and that we've had many, many, many lifetimes, thousands of lifetimes, and eventually we graduate from this realm. And when we graduate, apparently there's a lot of free will involved, and you can choose where you're going to go to a certain degree. And you can go to another planet, you can have a higher level of existence, there's heaven realms. For some people, there's healing hospitals on the other side where the They go through healing of their souls, and then they come back to Earth, and they keep coming back. Oh, no, not if you graduated. If you graduated, you could choose to come back to Earth. And if you do that, there's every chance that once you're back here, you're going to forget yourself again, and you could end up getting hooked into another series of many, 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 many lifetimes. And the significance of this cycle end, the 75,000-year cycle end, that came through both group souls, was that this period we're in is going to have something different happen in terms of the way we reincarnate or how we reoccur in future lifetimes. Because the Earth was going through a graduation, and the Earth itself was lifting its vibration, and it was lifting it from the third chakra to the fourth chakra, which meant it was developing a new paradigm of the fourth chakra is the heart chakra. So the paradigm was going to be compassion and empathy. And the paradigm we've been living in has been power and individuality. Now, you know, this is not good or bad. This is just the way it works. For example, someone needs to know they exist before they can have compassion for someone else's existence. So part of the growth is to come to the point where you have power and you know you exist, which is individuality. And then the next step is to share that with others with compassion and empathy. So the Earth was now shifting to a planet where the lesson was going to be compassion and empathy. And where the lesson up till the present on this planet has been power and individuality. And the evolution of our planet, according to these group souls, has been somewhat retarded. And the reason it's been retarded is because when a planet graduates, there's a division of souls. There's those that, in order to graduate with the planet, there's one simple requirement, which is your heart chakra has to be open slightly more than half so that your energy field will now fit into the new energy field of the planet. See, the Earth has an energy field to it, and all of our energy fields are connected to the energy field of the Earth. So when the Earth goes to a higher level of vibration, our energy field has to match that new vibration of the Earth, or we don't fit, like getting a square peg in a round hole. So the universe has a way of dealing with this. Those that fit graduate and they participate in this new Earth. And those that don't fit end up getting moved to another planet in another star system to start over. And who moves these souls from one place to another? The Ra group. The Ra group, the very voice that's speaking through David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce, made up of billions of individual souls spread like an amoeba through the solar system and the galaxy. That's how they described it through David. And a huge energy that can reach very close to us if we learn how to invoke them, how to tune them in on our little radio receiver in our own consciousness. And now what happened on our planet is that our planet became a destination for cycle repeaters from other planets and other star systems. So this is a standard process of evolution for all populated planets. At some point, the planet goes through a graduation, and there's a division of souls, those that graduate to the higher vibration of the planet and those that are cycle repeaters. And so Earth became a destination for cycle repeaters from many, many different planets. And the way it was being explained was that each race on our planet really was originated from another planet somewhere. So black people are from a planet, people in Norwegians, and what do you call them? I can't remember, you know, blue-eyed, blonde-haired Scandinavians. Scandinavians are from another planet, and it's not normal to put cycle repeaters from different planets on the same planet. Normally, they each go to their own planet so they can evolve as a group. But there was an effort, and they said it was an experiment, to put cycle repeaters together here on this planet in order to create an evolutionary process in the entire universe, because by evolving everyone together, the evolution would go back through their hologram to their home planet, and that would lift the vibration of the universe. So that was the experiment, as I understand it, and apparently it didn't work well, because instead of creating a cohesion from all these different races, there was separation, and each race kept to themselves and kept thinking they were the better ones, and they would fight with each other, they'd have territorial wars, and it was becoming a nightmare. So these group souls, remember now, there's two group souls that are at the high end of this operation, the Ra group and the Elohim group. As far as I can tell, there's nothing higher than those two groups. They report directly or under the auspices, I won't say report because I don't think that's the right word, but they're under the auspices of what they call the One Infinite Creator, which was the original first cause in our entire universe. And so they have councils, they have discussions, they try to figure out what to do. There's subgroups, there's federations of light, there's galactic, what do you call them? The universe is a very complex place. The whole universe is alive. Planets are alive. Everything is alive and has a consciousness, and theoretically, many of these alivenesses, if you have a person that's a good enough channel, can actually be a voice for all those different alivenesses all over the universe. And those of you that are getting message a day, at one point we had this, what was called the solar logos, the center of our galaxy, speaking to us, and there's a channeling posted there. Now I'm in the middle of all this, and it's like, you know, I'm a logical guy. I'm saying, can this be real? Can this be real? How can I be talking to the solar logos? How can I be talking to Jupiter? Why is the Council of 12 talking to me? So I'm like just having all this experience around me. And I said, well, I'll just keep going along with it and see where it goes. And so I guess after 8 years, by starting writing the book in 2000, and 2002 having his first channeling experience, but then went on, continued with Terry, who's on the line, who started channeling, and having conversations with this voice that said they were the Council of Elohim, and having them do little miracles here and there, and people ask for healings, and then learning how to identify their energies in the space, I said, you know, I think it's real. And, man, this is a lot of responsibility. If this is real, how am I supposed to work this? How do you share this with other people? How do you make it important to people? And I came to the conclusion that the most important thing was not to tell people there's a dimensional shift, not to tell people there's an Elohim and Ra, because those things are interesting and they could even be valuable. But the real bottom line is, how do you help somebody open their heart? And how do you help somebody experience how to tune these energies of these other realms into their own space, into their own radio receiver, so that they could feel the energies of these group souls. Because when you make a connection with them, energetically, not believing in your mind, but an energetic connection, then no matter what happens on this planet, you have a resource, a connection that transcends anything that happens in the physical world. And in fact, and I asked them this question and they said it was true, when you die, you still have that connection. So certain protection of dying, of getting into certain dark places, because you've got a connection with these really light beings way up there. So how do you get people to have this experience? And how do you help people open their hearts? Well, one of the things about keeping your heart open is you can't do it by yourself. So you have to create circumstances where people who don't have anyone in their life to open their heart to, that they can have other people to open their heart to. So I said, well, let's see. If I do a conference call and invite some of the people that are interested in my work, some of the people that are have read my book, have come to my talks, and email me and say, well, this is really neat, I'll invite them to a conference call. This started about 3 years ago, and I asked in a channeling, I said, if we do a conference call, would you work with the people on the conference call? And they said they would. And so during the course of my talking tonight, be very cognizant of your space and the energy around it, because some of you, they're looking for opportunities to connect with you. As you listen to this, it helps you reduce your doubt meter and pay attention. Because if you're just thinking skeptic, it's hard to get through that. That's like a big wall. It's also a little afraid, who am I letting into my space? So you have to study this enough to say, you know what, I think I trust this. And at that point, once you trust it, you make a quantum leap in openness to their vibration. Because if you're not sure you trust it, why would you open up? You shouldn't open up because there's a lot of dark energies out there, and you have to figure out what is and what isn't. And the way you do that is by testing something and keeping it at a distance and observing it, and observing it until you come to a degree of certainty that it is real and that you trust it. So another thing that these group souls were saying, that because this realm got so screwed up, and they felt a little responsible for it because it was their decision to mix all the cycle repeaters up, they actually had many volunteers who had graduated from this realm volunteer to come back to take some incarnations here to try to fix the realm. The problem is, when they came back in, they would lose themselves again and forget that they made that decision, because once you're here, you have the amnesia of the realm. So they would come here and they would forget, and they would get caught up in the reality systems in this realm. And according to the Ra group in a channeling, they said 90% of all of their group that chose to volunteer to come to this planet would get lost again. And I say that the other 10% probably became artists or ambulance drivers or nurses, because there's certain attributes of those volunteers that, whether you remember or not, the attribute of the original intention is there. And that was, they came here to be of service. And so they can't focus oftentimes unless they're doing something to be of service. They're restless, they can't concentrate, they're bored with things that other people are interested in. Another attribute of these volunteers is that women in this realm, they often get New Age diseases, Epstein-Barr, fibromyalgia, all those things because they come from a higher vibration. And a lot of times they get screwed up on drugs because it's so bad down here for them that they try to escape and they try to lift their vibration through drugs. And so they get caught up again in the wheel of reincarnation. Now, Ra calls them, the Ra group calls these volunteers wanderers, wanderers who have chosen to come into this realm. And I would say that almost certainly, almost everybody who becomes interested in this kind of material, anybody that was interested in Edgar Cayce, the hippies of high intent in the 60s, plus many others, are all wanderers. They all came into this realm from a higher realm to try to lift it, and then they lost their vibration. So there are both Elohim soul wanderers. Remember, Elohim is the group soul that was outside of this realm, that was the original creator god of this realm. And the Ra group is made up of graduates of this realm. And I suspect that sometimes the Elohim group, when they come into this realm, end up getting stuck here for many, many lifetimes, and then come out the back end after hundreds of thousands of years as part of the Ra group. Because the Ra group seems to take a closer, more hands-on approach to uplifting this realm than the Elohim group does. They're more in the distance. And they will work together, and of course, both groups respond to being called upon and ask for help, particularly when you get their frequency. If you ask them for help and just use their name, it's not enough. It's their frequency that connects. In fact, many spiritual groups and religions do tune into their frequencies and have no idea of this cosmology that I'm talking about. So they don't care if the word is God, Allah, Buddha, whatever. If there's high, strong intent in this, they can feel that energy and respond. And they can also feel even more the energy of a group and respond to that. So I did a lot of cross-referencing because as I was unfolding all of this, I said to myself, this can't be happening in a vacuum. I can't be the only guy that's getting this information. And so I started researching many other channelers. I started even conversations with God. And there was one called We the Arcturians by Norma Milanovich. Exactly the same scenario of a division of souls and a raising of the vibration at the end of a cycle. Carla Rucker, who I referred to in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce many times, who was another person that supposedly channeled the Ra group. Same scenario, same description. End of a 75,000-year cycle and a division of souls. And so one of the most unlikely places, as I was doing my internet searches on all of this, was a guy by the name of Philip Dick. God, man, I've been talking a long time. It's almost time for the end of the show. How did I do that? Oh, my God, it's 6:48, and I could go on for another hour. Well, Philip Dick was the guy that wrote the... he was a science fiction writer in the 60s, and he was writing for trashy science fiction novels. Remember, if you're old enough, you remember Amazing Stories and all those things, and living a very hand-to-mouth life, living in Berkeley. Probably he was in Berkeley at the same time, and he was having these mystical experiences, and he wrote a whole thing, which I'm not going to have time to read. I wanted to read it, called Exegesis, where he talked about how These pluriforms of God, I'll just read a sentence. Pluriforms of God voluntarily descended into this prison world, voluntarily losing their memory, identity, and supernatural powers, all of which can be regained through amnesis, or sometimes the mystical conjunction, is one of the most radical religious views known in the West. But it is known, it is regarded as the great blasphemy, replication of the original sin mentioned in the first book of Adam and Eve and in Genesis. For this pride and aspiration, we are told by orthodoxy, our original fall and exile and punishment are being taken from our home, the garden land, and put into the prison, was inflicted on us. They wish to be equal to, like us, the Elohim say, and toss us down, yet I have to reason that this great satanic blasphemy is true. First, we are here voluntarily. We did not sin, and we were not punished. We elected to descend. Why? To infuse the divine into the lower strata of creation in order to halt its decomposing, the sinking of its lower realm. This points to a primordial crisis in creation in the total macrocosm. The inform, you know what, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the guy was talking to the Elohim. People thought he was crazy. He said exactly what was coming through our channelings, that that this realm was sinking into darkness, and without these light beings coming here, sacrificing themselves, it was lost. It would not have a cope of regaining itself, and the beings here would be stuck. And he was obviously an Elohim soul in this realm. And next week I'll continue, and I'll read this whole thing, because I had it all open, and it's really fascinating. If anyone wants to look it up on the internet, look up the word EXEGESIS, EXEGESIS, and Philip K. Dick, the science fiction writer who wrote Blade Runner and probably five other of the stories that turned into movies after he was dead. And he had a very difficult life, and then he became world famous, and his family and his heirs got wealthy beyond belief because all his stories were turned into movies. And you know what? Terry?
Yes.
Are you there?
I'm here.
I don't think we have time to do a channeling tonight. It's 6:52. And what time am I supposed to be off? 6:55. I have 3 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, or 5 minutes if Seth will let it run. No, actually, I'm supposed to be off at 6:50. I'm already 2 minutes over. Well, you didn't want to channel anyway, right?
Right. My brain is fried from Saturday.
Now, Saturday, you know, we have something called Light Body, and we have a meeting once a month, and people all tell all their problems and what's going on and their challenges. And Terry was channeling from the Ra group, and giving everyone guidance and looking at all their problems and sharing with them how to get through them. And so we did that for 4 hours on Saturday. And I'm kind of like in a protective mode. So I know I told you guys that we might have a channeling. You're going to have to tune in next week, or you have to, on Wednesday we have our Matthew channeling. And if you guys want to come to the Matthew channeling on Wednesday, you're supposed to get the platinum package at returnofedgar.com, which if you already have the book, you just have to get all the other material, the Ra books. And I believe Matthew is channeling part of the Ra group, and it's going to be Wednesday night at 6 p.m., but you have to get that. And once you get it, you can become a regular. You can come every Wednesday and be part of that channeling. So that is a phenomenal deal, and Matthew is an awesome channel. And the people that have been coming on there get to ask questions. And I would say the people on our line, if I had the time, I'd make them say something about it, have asked questions over and over again, and have had phenomenal growth as a result of that. So I know everyone's sitting, oh, no, we're not having a channeling. But, you know, it's compassion and empathy for Terry Week. So, you know. She's been really, really a trooper. And, you know, she would do it just because she's so loving, but it's probably better to protect her. And plus, I must have gotten on a roll talking, because the time went really fast, and I didn't even know how long I was talking. So I thank you all for tuning in. I think I'm probably already off BBS, but in case I'm still there, I wish everyone on BBS a good night, and hope you check in next Wednesday. And I'll call in the light now, and we'll put things in the light. Okay, just a moment.
All callers are muted.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies to the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group consciousness. We connect our energies together in those other dimensions, and we invite those group souls to join with us. Those positive energies that serve us to other groups, operating in the Christed consciousness,